This past feast, which was just, a few weeks ago, Linda and I toured the Titanic. And if you've ever been through that, brethren, I mean, it is really most amazing to walk through that replica and to actually see what that ship was really like. I mean, you can go through it, and you can even go through, and they have a little vat on the side, or a little trough-like thing that you can put your hand in it and feel the temperature of that water, you know, the way it was that night they went down. I mean, it's a very moving thing every time I see something on the Titanic, because it's real. You know, Hollywood glamorizes some things. They put out two movies on it, the one with Barbara Stanwyck, the old black and white, and the one that I don't like is the one a few years back, too much Hollywood in it. But anyway, just a very moving thing. You know, when you walk through that or see any kind of documentation on it, again, it's just very moving. I just can't begin to imagine what all those people thought. You know, as that band, and this was the true fact, the band on the deck were playing "Nearer My God to Thee" as the ship was about to go down. I just can't imagine. Maybe at one point, the people, you know, there was a ship close by, 5 or 6 miles away, the Carpathia or Carpathia. Maybe some of them thought that, you know, that they would be saved, and so, you know, by that ship. But that wasn't the case for 1,500 who died. You know, I think it was like 705 who survived. They only had 16 lifeboats. I mean, that was a ship that God couldn't even sink. They didn't need lifeboats. That was their thinking, you know, the builders or whatever. But anyway, that was circumstances were heartbreaking. And then more recently, I saw the news of that little 9-year-old Vietnamese girl. Do any of you guys remember that? Back in 1972, it made the cover of Life magazine. They call her the Napalm Girl. She's also called Girl in the Picture. I mean, once you see that, I mean, you never forget that. Allied planes had dropped napalm, you know, there, hoping to kill the enemy. But anyway, this little girl was caught, you know, and it burnt her little body. And also, her younger brother, and you can just, on that front of that Life magazine, you can just see the horror in their faces. I mean, the picture just says it all. So that happened just over 2 years or so when I left the country over there. But the doctors have done a remarkable job, you know, grafting her skin from her upper torso. And they've relieved a lot of the pain she suffered for more than 40 years. 40 years. And they still have plenty of surgeries left planned to do in the future. So this, too, is a story of pain, suffering, death, you know, all around her and those running on that road. Then on January the 28th, I know most of you remember that day, January the 28th, 1986, I had come home from work, and Linda heard me to the television set, and we both looked in awe as they were showing replays of the Columbia spaceship, you know, going up. I mean, it just 12 days after Mr. Armstrong died, you know, he died that year, the 12th. But these people, the astronauts got up several minutes into their flight and just blew up. Killed everybody on board right in front of a nationwide audience, and their own family members were there watching them that day to just see them just explode. Nothing left. Just amazing. And it's stunning to see such things as that. Then on September the 11th, coming on up, 2001, we watched those 19 Islamic terrorists, you know, who hijacked America's own planes and rammed them into the Twin Towers in New York, or killed close to 3,000 people. I mean, we didn't actually see the first plane hit, but we were watching when the second plane did. I mean, just watch that right before your eyes, savagery like that. I mean, I think you can say for sure that mankind has mastered the art of murder. It kills with no conscience. I mean, just think about yesterday, those of you who watch news and keep up with what's going on in the world. France's 9/11 came yesterday. You know, I think it's like 128, the latest count, killed there by savages, you know. So mankind has mastered the art of murder. I mean, he just absolutely kills with no disregard, just absolutely no conscience whatsoever. So at one point in time, you know, during 9/11, you know, brethren, it really seemed like our nation was coming together for just a little bit. We actually thought the nation was repenting. I mean, for 3 months, church doors everywhere were just packed open, you know, and packed. The buildings packed. Didn't last long, though. It's incredible. I mean, after maybe 3 months, you know, we got back to normal and quickly. Turn in your Bibles with me, brethren, to Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll look at verse 10. I mean, things really got back to normal. So, again, for a moment there, it did look like our nation was coming together as a unit. And I think France is even going through that now, today. They're more unified than ever. But it just took something like that to shake them up, I guess. But here in verse 10, Isaiah chapter 9, we're told, the bricks are falling down, but we will build. Or really what the connotation is, we will rebuild with hewn stones. The sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedars. In other words, we don't need you now, God. We worked ourselves out of this situation here. What arrogance, brethren. Only a pseudo-repentance took place for just a brief period of time. I mean, now just look at our country just 14 years later. Just 14 years later. America mocks God. America now is at war with God, the only being who could deliver us from such atrocities, such savagery that's taking place in our world. And like I mentioned, over in France, one of the tribes of Israel, part Reuben. So we're seeing these things. And because of removing his name from our records, death hovers all around us. It does, brethren. We've eliminated God from our country. It's just staggering to see these things. Every day we see people being added to the Valley of Dry Bones. 128 yesterday. So why am I bringing all of this up? Pain, suffering, you know, disasters and death. Well, we all just got back from God's feast and observing it in the last great day, you know, or the eighth day as it's also called. And I personally have been spending a lot of time thinking about, you know, all of these people who have died. You know, these yesterday and just people you see every day, you know, just dying. You see it in the papers. You see it on the news. But I've been thinking about the fulfillment of that last great day, as we refer to it, thinking about all of these billions who are going to come back to life. Billions. We just don't know how many. Some say it's in the triple digits. But regardless, that's a lot of folks who are going to be coming back. They never had an opportunity to know God in their life. Those who died without hope were told that. But when they come up, God will give them hope. They never knew him. We see these things, brethren, now, thanks to God's mercy. But those people, when they lived, you know, they and the people now, you know, on their way to the Valley of the Dry Bones, they don't see these things. I mean, God's given us understanding now, so this should really give us encouragement to stay on that straight and narrow path. Now, you want to talk about being stunned? I mean, just imagine one of those 1,500, you know, that died there on the Titanic. You know, say one on the deck. Say that they saw what was coming. I mean, you didn't have to draw them a picture when things started falling apart. But these people, you know, some could have had a heart attack because of the fear of what was coming on. They just knew that if something didn't happen quickly, they would go down. So not knowing that they had been dead over 1,000 years, when they come up, they may be thinking, wow, what happened? Did I pass out or faint? And the Carpathia actually did save me from this? I mean, it won't take them long to realize that, you know, what really has happened because of the setting, you know, they'll be in. But anyway, right now, brethren, they don't know that they're dead. These coming up in that second resurrection certainly don't know what you and I know. That's why they're coming up in that second resurrection, so they can be taught. So it's just a simple fact that God never called them in this life. Untold billions. Or think about one who jumped from the Twin Towers. And I have the newspaper at home right now, and you can see the bodies suspended in air, of course, on the paper, but you could see them when they were playing the film. You could see them jumping from those buildings, brethren, several hundred feet high. Rather than to be burned alive, they just jumped. Imagine one of those, you know, coming back in the resurrection and thinking, wow, did an angel catch me? You know, because let's face it, their hearts couldn't have taken that, brethren. The authorities, the experts say that they probably all died before they hit the pavement, several hundred feet up. So, but to that individual, it'll seem like it just happened. Just that quick. Amazing. That's what death is like. I could personalize it a little bit. I told my mother, you know, shortly before she died, I told her that one day she would close her eyes and wake up in a whole different world and healed. She said, I hope you're right. I said, well, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. That's what gives me hope and gives us all peace of mind that just passes understanding. I could go on and on with these tragedies. You know, all those who died before the flood or in the flood, probably millions. You know, there was the Civil War, the millions in the two world wars, you know, the 50 million plus that died, 2,300 at Pearl Harbor, 58,000 in Vietnam, and all those soldiers that we're sending over to the slaughtering pens in the Middle East today in vain, you know, those being killed and those coming back with no limbs, suffering such tremendous pain. I mean, we hear a lot from our government leaders and from the media. Our thoughts and our prayers go out to the families. Are you kidding me? Our thoughts and our prayers in a nation that has almost totally banned prayer? So who cares? Well, God does. We heard it over and over at the feast this year. Talked about Ezekiel 37, you know, the Valley of the Dry Bones. We heard it explained about all those who died with no hope. Well, people are still dying with no hope today, brethren. This scripture here was not just Old Testament. This scripture is in progress. People are still being added to that Valley of Dry Bones. And another thing that's still in progress is confusion. Especially religious confusion. It's all around us. I was watching the Beyond Today program just yesterday, and you know, it's on a network, the most watched network in the world, I guess, the way I understand it. I mean, just preacher after preacher after preacher coming on, they wipe their heads and sweat, and my towels just drenched with sweat, and just one right after the other. And then Darius McNeely came on, and he made sense. just incredible. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it made sense. I just wonder what those people think about that as they're watching it. But we live in a world, a religious world, that makes God in their image what they think he should be, you know, and try to pawn it off as truth. And this brings me to the title of my sermon today, brethren. Whosoever will may come. Now, that's a true statement, of course, but let's check it out. This is my main focus today. That's why I listed all of those who have died, and I could have gone on all afternoon listing wars and, you know, circumstances where just many more thousands, millions, and so on just died. So anyway, this is my main focus. And I was passing by a billboard one day, and I think this was over in Warrior. I've seen a lot over there. Could we go over there a good bit? But on this particular one, it said, "Whosoever will may come." And then they referenced Revelation 22, verse 17. And this is where I get my title from, brethren. If you want to turn to Revelation 22, 17, I have a printout here, so I won't have to search for it. But Revelation 22, 17, I'll first read this verse, and then I'll just ask us a couple of questions. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that hears say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." And that's speaking of salvation, of course. I mean, is it just that simple, brethren, as that sign depicted, that whosoever will may come at their own will, their own initiative, just whenever they feel like it? Or just walk, you know, in essence, walk through the doorway of that church there in Warrior, or any church for that fact, at the behest of those advertising on those signs, and just give their hearts to the Lord, you know, just confess sweet Jesus. Romans, I think, is 9:10 or 10:9, whatever. They just confess or profess Jesus, and they're saved. Well, that's the way the average person thinks about it, the passersby. You know, in fact, that's what I was taught in my earlier years, and I think probably most of you were too. It's still taught by mainstream Christianity to this day. It's even on their tracks that they pass out. You see them everywhere. Well, this sign, of course, had a condensed version of this verse that I just read. But obviously, there's much more to it than this, than whosoever will come may come right now at their own initiative. I mean, at their own time of choosing. But anyway, what's the time setting or time frame for this verse and the chapter? I mean, we in the church, brethren, have been taught, as we study God's word and, you know, checking it out, we ask ourselves questions like who, what, when, where. You know, who's God talking to, or what's he talking about, where, all these things. Well, it's context, context, context. That's exactly what it is. So, is he speaking here in this scripture about just whenever one gets the urge to or to come, or is he speaking of a specific time? Well, we know the answer to that already, brethren, but we're going to just renew it in our minds today. Renew the inner man, as we're instructed, you know, in Paul's writings. Why? Lest we forget. And don't think for one minute, brethren, that you cannot forget, that I cannot forget. We mastered that art of forgetting. So we have to hold on to the things that we've been taught from God's word, lest we let them slip. And they can slip. This is both amazing and disturbing to see this happen to some that we've known. So we go here a little and there a little to put any subject into its proper context. I mean, these are God's words. It's like a jigsaw puzzle we've heard many times over, brethren. You have to go here a little, there a little, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept. You get all the scriptures and you put them together, and they turn out to be a picture. I mean, something you can actually understand, just like we understood Darius McNeely yesterday. I mean, just perfect words. We understood everything he said. I wonder how many others understood what he was saying. Talking about utopia, by the way, that was the title of the program yesterday. So if God doesn't want you to put his puzzle together, you can forget it. I can't put that puzzle together for you, and you couldn't put it together for me. God allows us to do that, because only God can give understanding, and no one can come to Christ unless he or she has been called by God the Father. Just no other way. This is a puzzle that, on God's timing, all day will put together for themselves. And they're going to find, brethren, that there were no shortcuts. There's no easy way, and there's no other way. They're going to find that out one day. Christ made a statement, and continuing in that chapter there, or that verse, John 6:44, he goes in on to say, "And I will raise them up at the last day." That's what we're talking about. These are Christ's words. So first of all, who is speaking here? Well, it says the Spirit and the Bride. I mean, this by itself gives us the time frame, you know, the setting for this scripture. It's still future. Spirit can be translated God, Christ who is God, Christ's Spirit, Holy Spirit, or the mind of God. And, of course, the bride is the church that Christ will marry one day, but not yet. That hasn't happened. Again, time setting, context, context, context. So, by the way, going here a little and there a little, this wedding ceremony will have already taken place way much earlier than there in Revelation 22. But once again, brethren, not now. The church is still flesh and blood. So a crucial time element is spoken of here. Some of these verses or these scriptures in this chapter are inset verses. And what that means is that not all of these chapters in Revelation, you know, they don't flow in chronological order. In the same way with these verses, they're not part of the story flow. Some of these things take us, they may span for centuries. You know, take us back, jump forward, you know, whatever. So I'll just give a couple of quick examples and touch on them again in a few minutes. And if I get repetitious today, brethren, just bear with me, because repetition is good. Sometimes it's needed to help us to explain, to understand what the speaker is saying. You know, what did he say? You know, well, sometimes I repeat myself, and I think it's good that way. So look at verse 14 here in Revelation 22. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." Brethren, this is an inset verse here. I mean, it proves to the world that God's commandments were in force forever during the age of man, his 6,000 years, and on through the 7,000th year. They were in force the entire 7,000 years, if you will. I mean, keeping them is what got these into the kingdom of God to start with. It says that they may have right to the tree of life, salvation. That's when they're called. That's when they're offered salvation. So this debunks the idea that God is trying to save the whole world now. Wow. What a weak God that would be. Just incredible. So these billions who are coming up in that last great day, or on that last great day, they'll be coming up in a world that's being ruled by Christ. Christ is here at that last great day. Guess who's not here? Satan. The last time we read anything about Satan is Revelation 20, verse 10. He's met his Waterloo. He's through. He's not mentioned anymore after that. But Christ told us there in Ezekiel 37, "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves and put my spirit in you." That's at the Valley of Dry Bones. These people, again, will know Christ for the very first time. Now, verse 15, it says, "For without," or outside the kingdom, "are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie." These have already been destroyed, brethren, back in chapter 20, two chapters earlier. Here a little and there a little. I just wanted to show you that, brethren. God the Father and Jesus Christ both are here at this point in Revelation 22. I mean, just look at the first four verses there. I mean, you have God the Father and Jesus Christ here. God is the light of the world. There's no moon, there's no sun, no stars. So, now what? What's he talking about here? Well, obviously, he's talking about eternal life. That's the main crux of my message today, in order, in time essence, when it comes to each person. So, it's also symbolic of water. Lewis was close to it a while ago in John 7. He read verse 35 and maybe verse 36, but verse 37 says, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believes on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Yeah, you still got to put the scriptures together. If you investigate that, and you don't even have to, you know it. The church had not even started at that point. Christ had not even been killed or been glorified. So again, context, context. Well, that's the day this verse in Revelation 22, verse 17 is referring to. This is that 100-year period of time that Isaiah speaks about, which follows the millennium, the great white throne judgment, or the second resurrection. That's when all the dead, you know, the uncalled dead will return, billions of them. That will be the period or time of growth for all to come to God, you know God for the first time. Then they shall come. Not now, unless God the Father decides to call them. That's when God sets his hand to save the whole world. And again, Satan won't be here at this point. He left two of chapters ago. And he'll never, at that point, do any deceiving again. The last time mentioned again, Revelation 20:10, he's through. His days are over at that point. So these people in that 100-year period, now they're having their opportunity to accept God and Jesus Christ. And there'll be no Satan around at that time in the 100-year period. So let's keep on renewing, though, brethren. Let's look at this jigsaw puzzle today and probably need to go back to chapter 20, verse 11, to put it in its proper context. Revelation 20, verse 11, you should be close to that. "Then I saw a great white throne, and he that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and earth fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened," all 66 of them. The book that you have in your laps and in your hands today, brethren, they'll be judged out of this same book that we're being judged out of today. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead," those who had been dead but now alive again, "were judged according to their works." They don't have those works today, brethren. We live in a wicked, evil world. Just look what happened here just recently. I mean, the whole world changed for France yesterday. Their whole world changed. Now they get a foretaste or an aftertaste of what we got on 9/11. So, but anyway, we'll have had that period of up to 100 years to accomplish this. We're being judged today, as, you know, Mr. Van Ostel brought out. We're being judged today. You know, 1 Peter 4:17, God's not judging the world right now. Why would he judge somebody that he hasn't even given an opportunity to even know him, to read this book that we read, and it's Russian to them? That would be unfair. So much more has to happen before the event of chapter 22, verse 17 ultimately takes place. And this is after all is said and done, as I just mentioned. There, the new heavens, the new earth, that means that these have ceased. At that point, Satan never heard from again. Once again, during that 100-year period, that 1,100th year, if you may. And that's what really makes you scratch your head, brethren. You know, to see people who were not even tempted by Satan, but will actually choose the second death. Go figure. What a miserable, wretched human being that must be for someone to, you know, to just reject God and his ways. That's just, it's over my head. But imagine what it would be like, and I don't think we can, any of us, do that, but imagine satanic nature, or human nature as it's referred to, being, you know, eliminated, you know, Satan put away. There goes that satanic nature, and eventually that human nature that we were all spellbound to. But imagine what a relief when the whole church of God, when the whole family of God will be on the same page. Staggering to think about that. I mean, 1 John 3:9 says that when that day comes, one cannot sin. Why? Well, because he's born into the family of God. The end of flesh and blood has come at that point. There's a spirit world. So what we're also seeing here is that all of those who were never called to salvation in their lifetimes, and maybe even some who were called. You know, not all chose this way, brethren. Many were called, but few are chosen. We've known many people in our lives. We've read about many. They just didn't get it. I guess that's what you have to say. They just didn't get it. They didn't act on their calling. Oh, they may have for a while. I mean, if you've been in the church of God for decades, you know, you can just look around at the churches of God and just ask yourself how many didn't get it. How many went back to keeping Christmas and Easter? People we've known. How many forgot God's commandments and just walked away from what they once staked their lives on? It's incredible when you sit back and you meditate on these things, brethren, people you used to eat with. I mean, only God knows who these are or if they were ever truly converted. We know for a fact that at least 144,000 are going to have to go through the Great Tribulation to wake them up. Brethren, that's in the Word of God. You know, remember John asking the angel, who are these arrayed in white? And where did they come from? What did that angel tell John? He said, these are they who came out of great tribulation and washed their robes. They repented, brethren. They woke up. But they had to go through the great tribulation in order to wake up. I mean, you have to go through something, don't you, before you can come out of it. Well, these 144,000... then there's an innumerable multitude that, you know, actually comes out of the Great Tribulation, Gentiles alike. But anyway, all of these will have had to learn the hard way. We also have to remember that, and I mentioned it, many are called, but few are chosen for whatever reason. You just don't know people, brethren. You think you do. But the many didn't respond, as the parable of the sower and the seed shows us. So God the Father has to make that call. He has to call those people. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I believe that's in Matthew 11. Christ is speaking even then to those whom the Father had called to him, those whom he was able to teach, the multitudes, the disciples. You know, that's what he's speaking of there. Those who had heavy burdens. He said, my burden is light. You know, take my yoke upon you to those called. But now in the great white throne judgment, the time will come when all will truly know God. And they'll know then that they had been misled. They're going to learn, brethren, that there were no social clubs in God's church. Come over here and do it the way we do it. No, there's none of that. Everybody doing what's right in their own eyes. It's not to point fingers. Who am I? But the overwhelming majority will choose the way of God. Some very few won't. Then they shall know. In verse 16 here, Christ is speaking, and he states that it's he who has inspired these words that John wrote down. Let me read you what the John Wycliffe commentary, Bible commentary says of verses 11 through 15. This is a man who didn't know God, but this is a man who could understand how to write. You know, he didn't come up with all these things himself. He says, and I quote, in verse 11 we have a solemn truth, sometimes referred to as the permanence of character. It is not only true that the troubles of the last days will tend to fix the character of each individual according to the habits that he has already formed, but there will come a time when change will be impossible, when no further opportunity will be given for repentance on one hand or for apostasy on the other. That's where we are there, brethren, in Revelation 22. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The end of flesh and blood will have already come at that point here in Revelation. God the Father, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, as I stated earlier, are already here. Verse 3. So when you read verse 15, it doesn't mean that there will be groups of men on this earth indulging in sins. No, brethren. They had already been wiped out. God had mercifully destroyed them through the third resurrection, the lake of fire, prior to chapter 22. So, once again, brethren, I'll repeat myself by saying that some of these verses, including verse 17, are inset verses. They've already happened. This is like a reflection. Oh, back here, just a reflection. So that's why God's word is like a jigsaw puzzle. If he doesn't want you to understand it, you can forget it. Some go back in time, as I mentioned. Some go forward in time, sometimes in the very same verse. That's why people get so frustrated and just give up. Who can understand this? And they shut their Bibles. Verses 18 and 19 shows us all now and then that adding to or taking away from the scriptures in the book of Revelation, or the rest of the Bible for that matter, will result in eternal death. Not my words. These will have just been raised from the first death. They have just come up in the second resurrection, which means that the second death is still possible for them. They can still choose death, eternal death. I mean, it's possible for any name to be blotted out of the book of life. I hope I don't know anybody in my 37 years in God's church. I hope I don't know anybody that fits that category, but I'm so afraid I do. You don't come in contact with God's church in China or Russia. You come into contact with God's church through the people. That's what the church is. So this too can be a head scratcher. After truly knowing God, having his Spirit, tasting of heavenly things to come, and actually rejecting God. I just can't begin to imagine that. And again, what a wretched human being miserable human being that will have to be. God has no choice but to mercifully destroy that person in a lake of fire. And there will be no more resurrection after that, brethren. It's over. Everything over. Everything you see, matter. The laws of physics will have ceased to exist. God's going to cleanse all sin from the earth in the third resurrection. So now let's ask the question, where? Who, what, when, where? Where at the writing of Revelation 22? Well, it's obviously speaking of the kingdom of God. It's obvious. There's no more curse. There's no more sun or moon. As I mentioned, God the Father and Jesus Christ are here. Matter will have ceased to exist. So, brethren, let's go back as I begin to wind down here. Let's go back to that billboard that I opened up with. That billboard over there in Warrior, Alabama. I still laugh at times when I see some billboards, and I'm going to give you an example. This one here, I'm going to tell you, brethren, it had to make God laugh, the one I'm about to tell you about. But that billboard over in Warrior, today is not the only day of salvation. I mean, it's not time for the majority to come to Christ. No man can come to me, Christ said, unless the Father calls that person. I am found of them who sought me not. None of you were seeking Christ or God the Father. I know I wasn't. I was doing anything but seeking God. And all of a sudden, one day a light came on. I didn't turn it on. But at that point, I just mentioned a moment ago, we'll be in a total spirit world. We will have moved into eternity at that point, brethren. Eternity. Can't even go there. I don't know. I have to deal with a beginning or an end. But now that billboard I want to tell you about, and God does laugh. God does laugh. You see scriptures in the Bible. You know, he weeps, Christ wept, and God the Father and Christ, I'm sure, laugh at some things. And I think they might have got a little chuckle out of this one right here. But several years ago, one of the largest churches in Houston, Texas, had on their sign, you know how they do, 11 a.m., the message, Jesus walks on water. Well, down here at the bottom, 6 p.m., the message was searching for Jesus. You just got to know God had to laugh at that. I still laugh today. It just shows you, brethren, that billboards don't present the whole picture. And sometimes things don't appear as they seem to. But anyway, they don't present all the facts. So what was my point today? I've talked a lot today. What was my point? Well, it's found in my title, and it's very clear. We've seen today that this is not the only day for salvation, and that this scripture speaking of the total fulfillment of the last great day when the whosoever will come did come. So, brethren, let's be prepared, ready to teach these people. Ever how many people come up in that great white throne judgment on that last great day?